Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. I started out this week thinking I was going to be preaching about them driving and just driving. I love that first lesson. I think it's a great, great, great allegory or story or symbol or whatever you want to call it of so much of life, those dry bones that are brought back to life. Now, before I move on from that to what I'm really going to talk about, to understand that story, you must realize that the Hebrew word for breath, brah, and said like a breath being released, it's like anapia, is the word for spirit. So it's a play on things there. The breath of God breathes into human beings at the beginning of human time. And it is the breath of God that brings the spirit of life to us, breathes among us, breathing. So still, you know the context. But I did. Because I happened to go to the grocery store, Food Lion Mount Jackson to be exact, and was standing in line, and I overheard a conversation in front of me. It was kind of hard not to. Somebody was apparently having a bad day. And when they got the bill, they were not happy. And the person said to them, "It's only money and you only live once." And the person said, "Isn't once enough?" And I thought about it. I'm sorry that person felt that way, but isn't that the question? The question of the day, isn't one life enough? To me, that's what all these lessons are speaking to about, and that's what you're going to hear from me. Is one life enough? I wish I could ask Lazarus that question, because he got two of them. But he wasn't resurrected to eternal life at that point. Jesus just brought him back to life. So he still faced all the dilemmas, pains and joys, and another death at some point in his life. We don't know. We don't have Lazarus' story, though. It'd be great to have it, wouldn't it? And what his experience was like. I hope anyway, that experience of having been dead and cut aside from life and being brought back gave to Lazarus an appreciation. Because I think that's the real key. The real key is not so much is there only one life, as far as I know there's only one life, but rather what is that? What is the attitude? What is the basis on which we live? For I'm here to tell you, and I believe this is true, that if you don't have a good attitude toward life, if you don't live life fully, a million lives would not be enough. You'd always be wanting more. But what if? What if we truly live every single day? It's a gift from God. That those ordinary, common days are just as important as the red letter days, that God is just as active in our lives, that we appreciate the world we live in and the people around us. What if we could risky enough, just risky enough to open ourselves up to both the hurt and anger, the tears and sorrows, but also the joys and the brilliance that each day brings? Think about it. Imagine that life. Live that fully. I think that's what our lessons are about. The first lesson about the people of Israel, using almost the same kind of language their ancestors used in the wilderness, are now moaning and groaning about their life in captivity. And God prepares them to those who are dead and says, "I will breathe new life in them." Now notice, at this point, it doesn't say all your troubles are going to go away, because we know the story. They got back to the Holy Land, but it wasn't what they expected, and their life never was what they thought it was going to be. They had this great gift in them. God breathed life into them in the lives they lived. And that's what Paul speaks about too, isn't it? Paul speaks about the fact that we have the Spirit in our mortal bodies. We don't somehow lose our bodies and float in space forever and ever, either in this life or in the next. No. The Bible is very clear that we have a being of some kind. It will be a different being in the resurrection, but we still are not just blobs floating around in space with thoughts in our heads. No. We are living creatures. So the emphasis on the story of Lazarus 2 is about the gift of this life. Notice a couple details about the story that make, for me, resonate so clearly. The first is Jesus comes knowing he's going to raise Lazarus. He tells the disciples that. And yet, when he gets there, he is moved deeply and cries openly upon the loss of his friend Lazarus. That's because to God, every single day is precious. Every single relationship we enter into is precious. every breath we take, every move we make. Yes, I know the song. But it's true. Jesus is going to do this, and yet he still knows, still experiences the pain that death and separation bring into our life. And the reason we have that pain is because these things are so special. They're to be cherished. They're precious. Friends, loved ones, those whom we make acquaintance with are precious things. Not things to be cast aside, hoping we get another life and we get to live it differently. No. Things matter. And if that means we cry sometimes, yes. But it also means that sometimes we ought to laugh and dance at the joys in our lives. That's what it means to be fully. It means to be vulnerable. If you don't have any emotions and you kind of hide yourself away, you won't experience pain, but you won't experience joy. Somehow those two are interlinked in the story. And for Jesus to rejoice over Lazarus meant also feeling the pain that that's given for us. And that's what I think living life fully, truly means. Elsewhere in Matthew, it's Jesus goes by the boys in the marketplace and they say to you, "We played the flute for you and you did not dance. We played the dirge and you did not cry." An old proverb that living life means being bold. It means living fully, completely connected to this world. Not trying to get out of this world, but knowing that God, well, he promises not to, because even Jesus is not spared death, nor suffering, nor crying. Nor is he spared joy and laughter and happiness if you read the gospel stories. But all of us are part of what it means to be alive. And our call, I think, in the story is to become alive. Truly alive. I don't even have time to tell you about the Martha Mary thing. You'll hear about it some other time. I'll talk about it. The tables are turned in this story about Martha and Mary from what the other story we have. That's the clue for you. Read it again closely and you'll see what happens. But I especially love a couple of details. One, Lazarus stuck. Well, of course he did. It's the Middle East. It's about 90 degrees outside, you know. 4 days and no embalming. What do you expect? But notice, Jesus isn't worried about the smell of Lazarus. He's more concerned about making the connection. Now, I hope none of us smell that bad, as 4 days dead would put us. But we come with our baggages, so to speak. We don't come smelling sweet to God. We come as we are. And yet, that is not a repulsion to Jesus. He just loves us as we are and comes to where we are to be with us, to give us this full life. And then finally, I love the end of the story. Lazarus comes out all bound up, you know, still wrapped in the linens of death. And Jesus says, "Unbind him and set him free." I truly believe that the Spirit of God, that breath of God that breathes life in us, sets us free. Free from the worries about death and things like that. Those will trouble all of us. We're all human. But sets us free from that ruining our lives. It sets us free from worrying about how we look to other people or whether we cry or dance or who cares. The Spirit of God moves in us to live and live fully. And Lazarus is a symbol of that. He will die again, but he's going to live and his things are going to be ripped off of him and he will be free to breathe the breath of God, to love his family, to mourn again through life, to be fully human. For myself, even though I have my moments, I think deep down inside, I think one life is enough. I'm not sure I really want to live again another life. This is the one God has gifted me with. If I can live it fully, and you and I can live lives fully, one life is enough. Because this life doesn't end. We're transformed and given a new eternal life to come. But this life matters to God and matters to us and calls us this day to not blindly stumble through life bound up like Lazarus in the tomb, but to come out, be free, and live. Amen.